So we've taught about the power of words. We've talked about keeping our heart right. We talked about the fruit of the Spirit on last week. Today, I actually want to teach a giving lesson entitled Giving in Faith, because it is important to me as a pastor that you not only learn the principles of giving, you got it, but you learn to give in faith so you can see the blessing in your life. I don't want you just giving because pastor said give. I want you giving because you understand the word of God. You understand that it puts you in covenant with God. And you understand that when you give, amazing things happen in your life. Can I get a big amen? Amen. All right. Here at Without Limits, we teach that giving is not what? That's right. Giving is not a game, but it is God's plan to prosper your life. To the degree that you do it on purpose, out of principle, you'll see amazing things happen in your life. When you give, it is a matter of honor, it is a matter of worship, and it is a matter of obedience. And you have to understand, so every time I'm giving of the first, I'm giving the tithe, and I add some kind of offering, it's me honoring God, it's me worshiping God, and it's me being obedient to His word. Proverbs, the third chapter and the ninth verse says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit. So we understand it's important to give the first of not some of your increase, but that's right, but all of your increase. So not just my paycheck, but birthday money. I found $20 on the street. Somebody blesses me with a Cash App. You know, I'm going to take the first, and I'm going to add an offering, and I'm going to give it to the Lord because I'm going to honor Him. I'm going to worship Him. I'm going to obey Him, and I'm going to see amazing things happen in my life. The reason that Pastor likes to teach it, I'm a teacher of the Word of God. The reason I like to teach it because I want to teach in a simplistic way where you can understand it so you can apply it in your life immediately. It is so important to understand the word of God on giving and not something that your coworker, your neighbor, or your auntie told you. Praise the Lord. Now, maybe your auntie told you right, but just in case she didn't, all right? And so because, you know, sometimes, you know, not as much, but especially in the early days, I'd have people come to me, my coworker told me that your pastor's teaching wrong because, you know, giving was just under the law. I said, well, I'm like Jesus. They do err because they don't know the scripture nor the power of God, because that's actually incorrect information. Tithing, giving of the first, was before the law. It was during the law. And it was after the law. Jesus Himself tells us to tithe in the book of Matthew. And so I'm going to kind of go down this road. And this is a good lesson for you to remember. That way, if, you know, 2, 3, 4 months, somebody starts talking, you say, hey, you need to go listen to this lesson that my pastor taught. There was no hype. He just taught the word of God. He explained it. And if you do what he teaches, you're going to get results in your life. Amen. So every time you get paid or every time you get increased, you take a test. I don't know if you knew that, but every time you get paid or every time you get increased, you take a test. Well, Pastor, what's the test? The test is, who are you going to thank for the increase? Are you going to thank God for the increase, or are you going to thank Amazon? Are you going to thank God, or are you going to thank Starbucks, right? Like, who am I going to thank? And so Malachi, the third chapter in the sixth verse, it says, for I am the Lord. What does he say next, class? I do not change, all right? So he is the same. Jesus says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word is the same. His principles are the same. You got it? They do not change. You know, because it's so funny to me, you know, even thinking about the whole under the law thing, right? Because let's just think about it. You can't go that route, but if you were to go that route, so you say, okay, so since we're not under the law, I shouldn't tithe. Well, under the law, it says do not kill. It says, do not steal. It says, do not commit adultery. So since I'm not under the law, you mean it's okay to do all that? Of course not. So that actually just doesn't make any sense, right? And so that the Holy Spirit just brought that to my remembrance, so I figured I'd throw that out there. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my, everybody say, ordinances. I want you to remember that word. And you have not kept them. He says, return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. He says, but you say, in what way shall we return? And then he asks a question. He says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me or stolen from me. But you said, how have we robbed you or how have we stolen from you? How does it say, class? In tithes and, notice it says tithes and offering, all right? He says, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. And then he says, let's get things right. Bring all, not some, but all the tithe into the storehouse, which is the local church, that there may be meat in my house. That's the local church. He says, and try me or test me. KJV says, prove me, says the Lord of hosts. So this is God speaking. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out such blessings that there will not be room enough to receive it. Because at the end of the day, God is really not after your money, but he wants your heart. But where a man's treasure is, there is his heart also. All right. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall your vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you. That word blessed means empowered to prosper, for you will be a delightsome lamb, says the Lord of hosts, who is the God who cannot change. And so we see this in scripture, and he says, you have gone away from my ordinances. My ordinances, tithing was an ordinance. Pastor, what is an ordinance? An ordinance was a principle of ordinary behavior, and it was ordinary behavior for the people of God to thank God for their income and their increase by obeying God and bringing the first and an offering, all right? It's all through scripture. And so it was before the law, it was during the law, it was after the law, and we're going to see that today. Matter of fact, when I read Proverbs 3 and 9 earlier, that was 400 years after the law. So you see that tithing was still going on 400 years after, all right? Now, tithing is actually a test. Let me explain it to you. Tithing is a test. Tithing is what? Well, what kind of test is it, Pastor? It's a test of my heart, and it's a test of my faith, all right? Am I going to believe God's word and trust him as my source? Money is not a source. Money's just a resource. Now, we need money, and I pray that you have a whole bunch of it. You got it? You know, but because we need it, right? But at the end of the day, God is our source. The word tithe means tenth or tenth part. And that number 10 actually represents in the Bible testing. All through scripture, the number 10 represents testing, all right? Now, for my veterans, you've heard me do this before, and I have to do this every time I teach this, or every other time at least, because thank God here, Without Limits Christian Center, y'all, every single week we got new people coming and connecting to Without Limits Christian Center. Every single week. It's amazing, all right? We're 18 years old, and to see what God is continuing to do is absolutely amazing, all right? And so it's the number 10 is represented through all the Bible. Everybody say 10.
10.
All right, let's try it again. Say 10.
10.
So how many plagues were there in Egypt?
10.
Yeah, don't be scared, all right? How many commandments are there?
10.
Yep. 10, 10. Now, there's a pattern here. There's a pattern here. All right? Look at your neighbor and say 10. Look at your neighbor and say 10. Yeah. Yeah. How many times did God test Israel in the wilderness?
10.
How many times were Jacob's wages changed?
10.
How many days was Daniel tested?
10.
How many virgins were tested in Matthew 25?
10.
How many days of testing are mentioned in the book of Revelation?
Yep.
How many disciples? No, there were 12 disciples. I'm just playing. There were 12 disciples. There weren't 10 disciples. There were 12. All right. So 10 is the number of testing, and God is testing our heart. And this is the only place in Scripture where God says you can test him or you can prove him in the area of giving, because he knew, watch this, that the enemy would try to pervert this in such a way to make you want to not do it. But the truth is, if you actually do it, you will see some amazing things happen in your life, all right? And so you know, not only was the tithing before, during, and after of the law, it was actually in the very beginning of Scripture. Bringing the first was in the very beginning of Scripture. Genesis, the fourth chapter, I'm going to read verses 3-5. You probably remember the story of Cain and Abel, all right? Cain did not bring the first in an offering. Cain just brought an offering. Abel brought the first and offering. It'll say and some fat, but that's what it was. It was an offering that was an agrarian society. Back in those days, they didn't get paid the way we get paid. We get paid with these monies, and we appreciate these monies, right? But back in those days, they were farmers, and they were herders, and so they brought those kinds of things. You know, nowadays, City of New Bern is not going to accept any crops. You got it. They're not going to accept any fruit, and, you know, they're not going to accept any animals, right? They want these monies, praise the Lord. All right, and let's read it. Verse 3 of chapter 4 in the book of Genesis. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Verse 4, Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock, and so he brought the first and of their fat. So he brought tithe and offering. And the Lord did what, class? Respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. And we know, unfortunately, Cain ends up killing Abel, and it was a whole jealousy thing. Well, all Cain had to do was just get it right with God, and God had been like, we're good, right? And so, you know, this story is so powerful that not only do we see it in the Old Testament, they bring it up again in the New Testament. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and the 4th verse, it says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice, and it was only because he did what God required, which was the first, right? Through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks. And so we see the power of obeying God. You know, my obedience is my entitlement to the blessing, but it is my faith that brings it into possession into my life. Why do you say that? Because not only do I need to obey God in my giving, but every time I give, I need to release faith for the promised blessing. That is why Pastor is teaching this. Not because things aren't going good, things are going great, right? Not because you are not giving, you actually are giving. But my whole thing is, I never want us to get in a mode of, oh, I'm just doing it because that's what you do when you get paid. No, no, no. Every time you go on Secure Give or Push Pay or Cash App or whatever it is that you use, and you hit that button for that transaction to take place. Some of you already have it set to go on the 1st and 15th. Everybody's different. Just whatever it is that you do, you got it. You know, the moment you do it, release faith for the promised blessing. I thank you, Father, for the windows of heaven being open in my life. I thank you for uncommon, unusual, and unexplainable favor. I thank you that puts us in covenant with you. My family's taken care of. My children are taken care of. You got it. Those kind of things. Your kid ain't even in college yet. Go ahead and be declaring debt-free tuition in Jesus' name. I mean, go ahead and do it on the front end, because giving is not, it's not a game, amen? And so you notice Malachi, when we read it, it used the word bring instead of giving. We use giving, that's okay. But the reason why it says bring the tithe, because we can't give what doesn't belong to us. And the tithe actually doesn't belong to us. It is the holy thing. That word holy means set apart. Leviticus 27, we'll read that in a little while. It is the accursed thing. It is a thing that doesn't belong to us, right? And so when you give it, you got it, then it's redeemed. When you keep it, it's cursed, all right? And you have to believe that it takes faith to believe that the 90% redeemed that you keep will go further than the 100% cursed. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so it's consecrated when you bring it to the house of God. It's cursed when you leave it in your bank account. You got it? And the tithe, it belongs to the Lord. It comes to the local church. Now, if you have someone on TV or Facebook or Instagram that you like to watch, that's fine. I'll be a little careful, because nowadays people put apostle and prophet and all kind of stuff in front of their name. They don't have no church. They don't have no credentials. So just be careful, praise the Lord, right? Yeah. And those kind of things. You know, if you want to send them an offering, I think that's fine. That's up to you. It's between you and God. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, as long as they are legitimate. But you can't send the tithe to them, because the tithe belongs to the local church. Can I take it a little further? Yeah, because if you reach out to them, they're probably not going to respond to you. Can I go a little further? If you need some marriage counseling, they're not going to fly to New Bern and give you any. They probably won't get on the Zoom. If your baby needs to get married, they're not coming to New Bern to marry your baby. It's quiet in here. You got it. And so it comes to the place where you've been growing and you've been being fed, and when you serve and where you have community. Does that make sense? Amen. All right. Y'all came around. Praise the Lord. So tithing is biblical. Everybody say tithing is biblical. All right? And so it's before, during, and after the law. Because I want this to be a lesson that you can go back to and listen to, or even someone in your family, your friends, or a coworker say, I don't know about that. I'm breaking it down. You got it. Shotgun style, praise the Lord. All right? And so that way, you know, you'll understand. All right? Now, all my military knew what I said. Everybody else, like, I don't know what he just said. All right? Okay. So let's look at before the law. Genesis, the 14th chapter and the 18th verse. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High, of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, bless Abram, we know him to be Abraham now, of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. So he delivers his enemies into his hand. He's got all this spoil, and what's the first thing that he does? He gives a tithe of not some, but. And that's the will of God. This was 500 years before the law. Okay? Now, Genesis 28 and 22. This is 400 years before the law. And this stone, which I have set as a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give you a tenth. We understand that tenth is a tithe, right? And so that's 400 years before the law. So that was before the law, okay? Now let's look at during the law. Of course, most people don't fuss about during the law, but I'm a teacher, so I'm going to give it all to you. We're going to do it the right way. Leviticus 27 and 30, and some of your tithe of the land. That's right. Shoot me down when I'm wrong, because it doesn't say some, does it? It doesn't say a little bit. It doesn't say based on how things are flowing for you that day. The whole thing is when I set my bills, I always set God at the top. He's not a bill, but I set him at the top of my budget, right? And watch this. And I believe that as long as I give the first to him, he's going to take care of everything. You got it. And there's going to be left over. And I'm going to have some uncommon, unusual, and unexplainable favor in my life, all right? And so he says, and all of the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, it is the Lord. It doesn't belong to us. It is holy. That word holy means set apart, all right? It's holy to the Lord. So it's set apart to the Lord. Deuteronomy 26, verses 1 through 2, and it shall be, when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from your land that the Lord your God has given you, and put it in a basket, and go to the place where the Lord your God has chosen to make his name abide. That was the local church for them, all right? So we see it before, we see it during, and then look in Matthew 23 and 23. Jesus himself tells us that we should tithe. Surely, if anybody had any questions, when you get to Matthew and you see it's written in red and you know Jesus is telling you, you ought to tithe. You got it? If Jesus showed up in your bedroom tonight, first of all, you probably put the pillow over your head, be like, oh, you know. But if you, once you got yourself together, right, you got it. If Jesus was saying, hey, you ought to tithe. If he showed up and told you that, you'd probably tithe. Well, he doesn't have to because he says it's in his word, right? All right, Matthew 23 and 23. What's that with the strong voice? What's that first word?
Whoa.
Whoa. That's the first thing I said 27 years ago when I saw Lady LeConte. I said, whoa, I got to have her. Yes, indeed. Praise the Lord, all right? It was a word of life. My pastor, Pastor Taylor, and we were building our church, and me and Ed were building the platform that, you know, one just like this, and he was the carpenter. I was the helper, praise the Lord. He asked me what I helped him. I said, as long as you give me one of them belts that you got, and I had all kind of tools in them. I didn't know what to do with it, but I sure looked good, you understand? You know, and lady comes in, and I didn't really know her. She was in college at the time, so it was just coming home on breaks, and when she come on breaks, I'd swoop, you know, home for 96 or whatever, so we'd always miss each other. But our pastor had said, hey, if any of the brothers can stay, you know, make sure you stay so we can finish this building. And so I was like, yeah, I'll sacrifice going home for the house of God so we can get, you know, the church finished. And so she came in, and I had a red Mustang, and she just came and said, whose Mustang is that? You got it? And I said, holla at your boy. No, I didn't say holla at your boy. I'm just playing. I didn't say that. But she did holla at her boy. And 27 years later, yes, indeed. So, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So I wish I could sing, man. If I could sing, I feel like I'd have the total package, right? I could sing to her, you know, and so, anyways, I just talk to her in a real nice way. I can't sing, but I can talk to her in a real way, you know. I don't have to spit game, you understand, because I know who I am, praise the Lord, all right? All right, I still know how to make her blush. I still know how to make her laugh. I still know how to make her smile. And I try not to get her upset, praise the Lord, right? So don't let 5 and 10 and 15 years in your marriage go by and think that, you know, you still need them. The kids, they got all these new words. I don't know these words, the sauce, the drip, the all that. I don't know all them words, right? But you still need whatever it is, you understand? Like 27 years, and I can still walk into the room and get her to smile. That's important. I can walk into the room and say something funny and crazy and still get her to laugh. That's important. What am I saying to my married couples? You know, no matter if you just got married, oh, we got some newlyweds in the house. Amen. Give them a big hand. So no matter if you're just getting started or if you've been at this thing a long time, never lose your spark. That's a good place to clap right there. That's a good place to clap. All right. Okay. All right. Okay. I got to switch back from marriage to tithing. All right. We almost there, though. We almost there. Matthew 23 and 23. He says, woe to you. You'll never read this scripture the another way again when you see that woe. You're going to think first past and late. All right. Okay. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. All right. He says, you pay tithe of all these different things, the mint, the anise, the cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. He says, these you ought to have done, tithe, without leaving the others undone, justice, mercy, and faith. There are people that say it's switched, that it's actually talking about justice, mercy, and faith. It doesn't matter. Even if you put those words in there and say, these you ought to have done, justice, mercy, and faith, without leaving the others undone, it's still the tithe. So no matter how you look at it, Jesus is saying you should do them all. Let me tell you why I feel he put an emphasis on justice, mercy, and faith, because it's a matter of the heart. Because you can come and you, and back in those days when they gave publicly. So everybody knows whether you brought the first or you didn't. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, nobody knows. We don't even pass buckets, praise the Lord. So nobody knows, right? Because now when I'm doing it, it's got to be a matter of the heart. Because what happens is I can't come boasting that I'm giving the first, but I'm mean to people. I can't boast that I'm giving the first, but I'm treating people wrong and I'm gossiping. In other words, my heart is not right. Or I see an injustice and I don't say anything about it. I don't stand up for what's right. I need to learn how to understand that justice, mercy, and faith. I don't give mercy to somebody. You know, I don't offer forgiveness when someone has asked for my forgiveness. You got it. I don't stay in faith when I know I should stay in faith. And so what Jesus is saying, yes, you should tithe, but he's saying don't forget justice, mercy, and faith. He said you shouldn't do one or the other. You should do all of them together. I think this is a good place to go home. So everybody say tithing is biblical. So why do I tithe in closing? Number one, it provides for God's house. The Bible says that there may be meat in my house. You know, we don't talk about, you know, how much we got going on, those kind of things here at church is just not necessary. We just believe that those that are coming, they love the vision of this house. They understand the word of God. This is their church, and so they're going to tithe, right? You know, you would be amazed to know just how much the ice cream, you know, the free ice cream we get, how much the monthly ice cream bill is, praise the Lord. Because y'all eat some ice cream, praise the Lord. And that's okay, because we want you to eat the ice cream. You got it. And you eat one and you know, and it was good and you want another one, go get you another one. That's no problem. You got it. Nobody's going to stop you, right? You know? And so, but when you give, it provides for God's house. Number two, it tells God that I trust him. That when I obey and I give the first, I'm saying, God, I trust you that you're going to bless the rest. It reminds me, number three, that I am not my source, that he is my source, that he is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides. The next one, it connects my money to a kingdom purpose. I am making a difference with my giving because the church I go to isn't just paying bills, you got it, but we're sending, we're doing missions, you got it, local and foreign, we're doing community things, you got it, we're helping other churches, smaller churches that you'll never know about, that you'll never see, because it's not about that, you understand? And so we're doing so many amazing things. That when we had Summer Blast, all 200 kids came. They came absolutely free. You could only imagine the bill for 200 kids for the week. You got it? We're about in November to give 500 turkey dinner boxes away. Nobody helps us. You got it? depending on the year, how much turkeys cost, it can cost between $10,000 and $20,000. And that's a lot of money. And so what, but what happens is, and there was a couple years, especially right around COVID and after COVID, them turkeys was a lot of money, weren't they, Pastor Pat? A lot of money. You got it. And I remember Pastor Pat coming to let me know how much they were. You got it. But that's where the whole justice, mercy, and faith. We weren't going to leave what God told us to do. We're going to stay in faith and do it regardless. And I didn't come and say, okay, y'all, I need y'all to come a little stronger. No, that's not faith. You got it. Faith is, man, Father, we trust you as our source. And so we're going to keep on going on. And then the last and final one, why I tithe, it lets everything else in my life know that God is first. That God is at the top of the list. And if I put him at the top of the list, he's going to take care of the rest of my list. Because tithing is actually not an act of generosity, it's an act of obedience. And when I obey God in this area, I see amazing things happen in my life. There's two testimonies that I've heard over and over from a tither and from a non-tither. Tithers always tell you, Pastor, I'm so blessed. Tithers will tell you, you know, Pastor, I hit this tough spot, you know, and I didn't even know exactly how it was going to come through, but God always comes through. God always makes up the difference. Some kind of way, God always does it for me. That's the testimony of a tither. And then people who don't tithe, and I get it, and I'm not making light of this, they'll say, I can't afford the tithe. Because, you know, I've got bills, and I've gotten so much debt, and I've done this. And in a very loving way, I'll tell them, you'll never be able to afford the tithe until you tithe, because tithing breaks the curse. The spiritual part is really real. Not just the spiritual part is really real. And so I want to challenge you to trust God in this area and to not wait till Sunday to give. But we have electronic giving. That way you take the enemy and him putting it in your mind, should I do it, should I not do it? It's Wednesday, I got paid. I got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. No. Just go ahead and go online and give the first and give an offering and get in faith that, man, God is taking care of everything that concerns me. So don't wait till you get here. Go ahead and do it. Watch this. Number one, go ahead and get seed in the ground so it can start working. And then number two, it pushes back the enemy for him to bring those thoughts to tell you why you don't need to do this and you don't need to do this. No, I'm going to put God at the top of the list. And if I do that, he's going to take care of the rest of the list. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for our time around your word. We thank you for this word. We know it's not void of power, but it will accomplish those things that you set it out to do. And I bind the hand of the enemy and everything that's not like God that would try to attack the people of God in this area to make them fearful of giving, to make them think that they're not going to have enough. Those are all lies from the enemy. And Father, I thank you that as they freely obey you, not out of coercion, not because Pastor tried to make them do it, but because they understand the word and they made a decision in their heart to do it, I thank you for supernatural things happening in their lives. And so, Father, not only, Father, as they tithe, but give them the wisdom to manage well, Lord. And so, Father, we thank you for your uncommon, unusual, and unexplainable favor showing up in our lives. We thank you for the exceeding, the abundantly, the above all that we can ask or think according to the power that already works on the inside of us. We thank you for it. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Now give the Lord a big hand praise all over the room.